Good morning. I am Jen Yap.
And I am Ellie Yap.
We would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. The church office will be closed on Thursday in observance of Independence Day.
The new volunteer service ministry, the Burrito Project, will take place this Tuesday. Kitchen help begins at 5 o'clock and delivery begins at 6:45. Please see the bulletin or Pastor Lee for more information.
The AGO presents international organ superstar Chelsea Chen in a recital at Holy Trinity this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $25 and can be purchased online or at the door.
There will be no Wednesday evening worship this week. We will continue the following week.
And we'll begin our summer service schedule next Sunday. Both the 10:30 and the 8:30 services will be held in the air-conditioned chapel.
Finally, there will be no coffee hour today.
Please see the bulletin for additional announcements. Have a happy and safe holiday.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Lord, is Christ the Lamb of Zion, whose blood set us free to bring before our God.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite the young people of the congregation forward for a time with Pastor Lee.
Some of us just graduated this week from high school, one of them serving back there on the altar. Some folks are graduating from college, other folks are celebrating special times, and so one of the things that people do at special times, like graduation or special events, is they will go out to dinner. So what I was wondering, and eat cake, it's true, so I was wondering if you were going to go out and have a special dinner, maybe it's your birthday dinner, you were going to have a special meal out, what would you eat? What would be at your special dinner? What's your favorite food? Yeah, I see the gingerbread house. I see it. What would you want at your special dinner, Tino? Spaghetti. Very good. What would you want at your special dinner? Macaroni and cheese. Good answer. What would you want at your special dinner? You can have, if it was anything at all. If your dad didn't have to pay for it, what would you want for dinner? French toast, oh, good call, chocolate. I'm liking the king crab legs to me. It means very special dinner, because I can't have it any other time. So there's a story, only in Florida. So there's a special story that we're going to hear in the Bible in a few minutes about a man named Elisha. And the prophet Elijah was turning over his job to him. And Elisha said, before I go, he was plowing the fields, and he took the wooden yoke that was tying his oxen together, and he used it to make a campfire, and he cooked up some meat, and they had a barbecue. And in that special meal, his life was changing. Nothing was going to be the same as it was before, but he was going to go on to do some new stuff with God and for God and on the new adventures. And every week when we are here together on Sunday morning, we share in a meal in the Lord's Supper, and we receive either a blessing or we receive the bread and the wine or the juice, and we remember that as a special blessing that our life will be different for having received the gift of love that God has for us. So I want you to think about that when you have your next special meal and see the changes happening in your life and the blessing. Maybe it's your next birthday dinner meal, and you know that next year is going to be all new stuff and that God is with you in all the changes. Amen? Will you pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks that you are with us even as we grow and as we change and as the world changes around us, that we might celebrate on these Sunday mornings and other special times in our lives, remembering that you have so poured your love and grace into us, that love is sufficient and good for us this day and always. Thank you for being with us and all the changes as we celebrate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Good to see you back with our families this morning, okay?
The first reading for the third Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat of Ebal-Meholah, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was the 12th. Elisha passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran up to Elisha, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And Elisha said to him, "Go back again, for I have done for you." He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them, using the equipment from the oxen. He boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading for today is recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter. "For freedom of Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in the single commandment, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you do not consume by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For those who oppose to each other to prevent you from doing what you want, but you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I have warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." But to another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home." And Jesus said to them, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Please pray first with me. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, We give you thanks, Lord God, for waking us this morning, for stirring our hearts and gathering us from our homes into your house again, for pouring out your Holy Spirit upon us, for naming and claiming us as your own, your beloved, and so filling us with power of grace, that with love abundant that is fed to us from this table, it might pour out of us and into these streets and into a whole world in need to all those whom we encounter. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. I had run 23 and a half miles already, and all I wanted to do was stop, quit, turn back, get off the road. Training for and running a marathon gives one plenty of time and opportunity to think about turning back, turning around, dropping out, and giving up. When the alarm goes off early in the morning on a cold winter day, you think, I can just pull up the covers and go back to bed, and I can first think about everything else I'd rather do than go out running in this. Or anticipating a drenching rain makes you think that I can just put this off until there is a better weather day in Buffalo to run beside the day when it's raining. Or that moment that I was hitting the proverbial wall when I just didn't want to run anymore. And even though there were voices from my family and friends and strangers on the street encouraging me to go forward and finish what I had started, there was another part of my brain saying, you know what, you've run just far enough, it's much easier, you can just sit down, good and well done, faithful servant, it was time to be done. So there were lots of excuses I could have come up with to just stop there at 23 and a half miles. What about you? You know I'm not talking about marathons, but it is the ultimate cliche for all of life, all of our lives and the challenges that we face. What are your challenges this morning? What choices are ahead of you that you might be tempted to look back into what has been instead of wanting to move forward? What changes are you considering where it seems that you'd be more comfortable staying where you already are than to go through that change at all? Or what ministry is God putting on your heart? Where is God changing you for the sake of the world, challenging you to get out of your own comfort zone as you view the world? Jesus was having a bad day. As we pick up Luke's gospel towards the end of the 9th chapter this morning, he had entered a town of Samaritans, the text says, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. That is, he had already had it on his mind where he was going, what he would do, and the suffering that would face him as he came into that town. He is anticipating his trial and conviction, his abandonment and crucifixion, knowing what was coming, what was required of him. And he was steeling himself, preparing himself for what is to come, the way you get ready when you know you have a hard task or a hard day ahead of you. He was getting his mind ready. He was faced toward Jerusalem. Maybe that means that he wasn't the warm and fuzzy Jesus that we like to think about, that with welcoming the children or feeding the multitudes on the hillside. Maybe they didn't see him turn their water into a nice IPA, or they were waiting for a healing at the waving of his hand. And so because the village did not seem moved by the presence of the Prince of Peace, James and John ask him, Lord, do you want us to command fire to strike them down from the heavens? As if. I only think this is funny because it seems like these are the same disciples who, while they will see amazing works of faith done before them, they stand in brashness in one moment and then they wilt like flowers in the next. What would they have done if Jesus really said yes? Would they believe in the power that God had given to them through the Spirit? But he rebukes them and keeps going. And they go along a little further, and followers join them on the road. And as they heard of the movement and they had bought their bumper sticker, they now wanted to get a little closer to the Messiah, shouting, I will follow you wherever you go. And so the Lord said to one of those, "So follow me." And one said, but first let me go and bury my father. And another said, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus' response seems that maybe as harsh at first because the request seems so reasonable. Isn't it something that any of us would have asked if we were in the same place and condition, just asking if they can turn back and take care of what has been? But Jesus' face is set toward Jerusalem. No time to turn back. Christ calling us forward always, moving on into challenging unknowns. What changes are happening in your life? What challenges are you being led to face? What call has God put on your heart, indicating that you are God's instrument of transformation for the sake of the world? For freedom's sake, we have been set free. For one another, we have been set free. And where does this call take us, the church? What is Christ calling us to do or to be as the very body of Christ, the church in the world? What shall be our response? Caroline Lewis, professor of homiletics at Luther Seminary, invites us to consider our but first responses. Like excuses while training or running to turn back or to give up or to stop, our but first responses turn our faces away from the direction where Jesus is leading. Maybe some would say, yes, Jesus may be calling us to do the work of anti-racism and build up partnerships, paving the way for racial equity throughout Greater Buffalo, but first. Or it might be tempted to think, you know, I'm sure the trip to Haiti was beneficial for those who got to travel, and we can do mission outside the walls, you know, but first. Or as we proclaimed God's love for all people and prayed especially this month in our liturgy for the LGBTQ+ community, someone might be thinking, you know, but first we could have prayed for. Where are we, the church, saying, but first to God's call? Where are you tempted to say, you know, I could just stop here at mile 23 and a half and call it a day. I've gone far enough. So Elisha's call from God through Elijah is an interesting comparison to this story on the road. For when Elijah lays down his mantle, an overgarment that he may have rolled up and placed there on Elisha's shoulders, Elisha does turn back, if but for a moment. But what he did showed that he was ready for the change and up for the challenge. Elisha had been steering the last of those 12 pairs of plows. Maybe his brothers and cousins or nephews and nieces were up ahead of him. But Elisha was the least impressive of the bunch, yet that's who God calls. And he sits down there in a field and he prepares himself a barbecue, using the yoke of his now past life as fuel for the campfire. Preparing from his team a feast that will feed all the people that can smell the beef cooking. And for all that had been, he gave thanks, and for all that would be, he was saying yes. It could be that our communion takes on the role of this barbecue, even though you can't smell it from where you're sitting. Because too, from this table, we are invited to face towards Jerusalem, to face Christ's death and resurrection again and again. At this table, all of the dreams of our past rise up to the Lord. Not all of them will be fulfilled. But God gives to us new dreams, new calls to new life and new hope, and new opportunities to share gifts of amazing love. Church isn't going to be like it was before. God's doing a new thing if we can perceive it. Honestly, I was ready to quit at 23 and a half. I didn't care if I wasn't going to get the medal. They had already given me the t-shirt. I thought my family will still be proud of me. My mom's proud of me no matter what I do. She was proud after 1 mile. I was good. You can ask her. She's sitting there. I thought, haven't I done enough? I don't want to go any further. Everything hurts. I just want to stop. And then came up this older gentleman behind him. He looked like he had just started the race. I couldn't see any sweat even on his forehead. He looked a little like Morgan Freeman when he's playing God in that one movie. A nice white beard of curly hair on his face. And he looked at me and said, come on, you're almost there. You can't quit now. And as we turned on the corner from Richmond to North, my plan was I can just run North Street to church and call for a ride. But he said, you can't give up. You're almost there. It's downhill all the way. I said, someone said that at mile one. He said, come on. You've come too far. You've come too far to turn back now. His eyes were set on the finish. He blazed past me and finished long before I did, and I never saw him again. But his words gave me strength to keep going. Whatever challenge you are facing, whatever transitions are coming your life's way, wherever God is calling you into, mixing up your life, giving you new dreams and others being replaced, in these places, God is also gifting you, equipping you, speaking words of grace and strength, of love into you, and loving us into this new day. Thanks be to God. Amen.
emboldened to follow Christ, we boldly confess our faith using the words of the Creed found on page 9 of your worship bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need, for all followers of Christ, for the church and its ministers, and for the mission of the gospel, that all will know the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen the ministries of the Buffalo City Cluster, for Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for the wilderness and deserts, for the rain, forests, and tundra, for native lands and farmland, and for all who tend the land, that God's mighty work be seen in all of creation. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for those who govern in Canada and the United States, for those responsible for peace among people and nations, and for those who strive for freedom, that all are guided by Christ's commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for refugees in need of protection, for the homeless in need of shelter, for those who work in the summer's heat, for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, that God provide compassionate advocates and skilled medical professionals to aid them. And we pray for all those we now name aloud and those we remember in our hearts. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. As the 50 years of Pride celebrations come to a close, God, we praise your name. It is in your name that we can be bold in our faith and true to ourselves and our sexual orientations, our gender identities and gender expressions. Help us celebrate long after the month of June the beauty of our diversity, treating all of your kingdom with respect and love. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for those who travel this summer, for those celebrating significant events in their lives, and for this community of faith, that the love of Christ be present in our joy and pleasure. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially today for Caleb and Nora. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. In thanksgiving for those who now rest in the hope of the resurrection, that with them we receive assurance that God does not abandon us in any time or place, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of that peace with one another. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, for the greening earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. You are indeed holy, almighty, and merciful God. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again. We give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin may be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with our heart, serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, I invite any campers or camp staff, anybody that's going to any camp at all this summer, to come forward, and I'll come down and meet you, and we will do a camp blessing as we send you off to camp this year. We have some staff already at LCLC preparing for campers coming this summer, and we have some going. I'll be joining them in a couple weeks for confirmation camp. We've got our senior highs and our night owls and our youth camp, and camp is just amazing. So as we prepare to send our campers, young and old, to camp for the summer, we send them with this blessing. Let us pray. Awesome, ever-present God, you are with us wherever we go and send us to do fun, important, and life-changing things with you. Today, we are celebrating and asking for your blessing over all of our campers. They are about to embark on a journey filled with adventure, fun, and faith formation that will help them grow closer to you. Bless them so that all their fears and anxieties might be met with your presence. Bless them so that all of their questions and seeking might be explored with your guidance. Bless them so that all of their excitement and energy might be met with joy. Bless these campers and camp staff that they might adventure with you this summer. Help them be close and remind them that we are here, back home, praying for the exciting week ahead. Help them know our love and our hopes for them this week. Bless our church too, God. Bless us as we wait for our campers to return home prayerfully and patiently. Bless us so that we might be changed just as they are. Send us out, O God. Send our campers to walk and play and adventure with you. Send our church out to do the same. Send each of us out into the world, knowing that you are with us and that your community is supporting us wherever we go. Amen. Thank you. You guys can return to your seats and have a fantastic time at camp this year. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Amen.